COVID times, there would probably have been a ball thrown trying to teach the DB to react and high point the ball.
Okay. The other question I have was, there seems to be a real disjunction between the conversation that you had with Mr. Metzke on 8-7, your her remembrance of that conversation, and his. I was wondering if you could just go through what that conversation was.
When I called Charlotte, Mr. Winsky, when Coach Mackey called me, I just, you know, I was kind of dumbfounded. I was like, man, we weren't doing anything wrong. I was having a conversation with Charlie, and I tried to explain what we were doing to him so he could, and in our conversation, I was like, Charlie, we didn't even have a football involved. How can there be offense and defense? We don't have any football. It's just a hip flip drill. And I said, I told him, I said, to me, that drill's safe because I said, maybe it's my stupidity. Without a football, there's no offense, no defense. And his reply to me was, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Charlie, do you agree, disagree with that? Is that the way you heard the conversation?
Is that the way he described what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way he described it, which is not allowed.
Yeah, so
I believe I shared that we went through that in the webinar.
So your take was that since there wasn't a ball involved and it was safe and not within 6 feet, that was the defense that made illegal drills?
It was two players interacting based on each other becoming an offense versus defense. The ball never defines offense versus defense because you can actually run skeleton offense with no football involved where defensive players are reacting to it. We're trying to keep that offense versus defense. If an offensive player does something or anybody that's simulating an offensive player should be against there, and a defensive player should do it against there.
Yeah, I understand that. I guess my question is, it seems like on 8-7, the response from the coach was we didn't have a ball and they weren't 6 feet, they were 6 feet apart, thus it's legal. That was the take on 8-7 from Emerald. Now, a month later, it's, you know, something else that we thought it was legal for other reasons. So that answers my question. Was the conversation on 8-7 was we weren't using a football and they were 6 feet apart, thus it's legal.
Thus it's legal in their interpretation. Correct. He thought it was, yes. I mean, he said ball and we were 6 feet apart.
Okay, that was, and yeah. Coach, do you agree that that is essentially the conversation?
Yes,
okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
I'm going to go back to my original question. Have there been any other schools commissioner that have had violations such as this? Yes, sir. Any other questions from the committee? Okay, hearing none, do we have a motion?
I make a motion to uphold the league's sanction.
Have a motion on the floor to uphold the league's decision and impose the sanction imposed to Emerald High School as it relates to an illegal practice. Is there a second?
A second.
I have a second by Mr. Warren. Discussion.
One of the more frustrating parts probably for every school ever. It sounded like the league when I was watching before I was on the committee of everyone designed these rules and all that was trying to do things safe and new and not understand. And, something that people were changing all the time around the country. But I think when we all got this, what I watched when the executive committee decided to go from guidelines or suggestions, recommendations, to rules that had consequences, and I watched a lot of discussion about that, because that was very serious, and I know I weight of what that meeting held. And it was a lot of discussion, good discussion, I thought, so that everyone involved understood. I thought a lot of people in that meeting made it clear that everyone on the committee understood that this was going to have real consequences possibly for schools. And I think that then took some responsibility onto schools to be very careful in how they approach these and realize that there are consequences. It sounds like this guy's good. I will say that one of the more frustrating parts for my school and people who I work with had to do with that offensive and defensive, some of those restrictions that are unusual. And were frustrating. They were. But I think the executive committee was clear that there were going to be consequences. And I think, just in my mind, there are a lot of schools around the state who were frustrated the entire summer with that and did not violate that. There's a lot of teams that would have liked to have interpreted that as defense could become offense and do those drills, or that you could not use a ball and be a little more careful about how you do it and keep them apart, and they did not, because they felt like the league had made it very clear that the offense going versus defense was going to be an issue. So that's why I said that.
I'm
going to
introduce the motion.
Mr. Pascal.
Would you be agreeable to amending your motion to uphold the sanction but lower the fine somewhere in the $200 range?
Sure.
How do I make that?
He's got to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll amend the motion to uphold the sanction but lower the fine to $200. Because I do think it is a unique case. We're dealing with one drill or an entire practice where I'm sure there were five or six different drills going on at the same time involving different players. So.
Okay, so the original motion has been amended by the originator?
Make sure the second is dead.
The second.
Make sure that the second was still second, the amended motion.
Yes. Okay, so the second has to
yes.
Okay, and Mr. Warren seconds that motion. So what we have now is to uphold the league's decision and the sanctions against Emerald High School with an imposed fine of $200. There's a motion, and there's a second by Mr. Warren. Discussion. My first thing, Commissioner, just we talk on slippery slopes, and again, I just throw this out there.
I would venture to say that we've had other schools that have violated, chose to accept the minimum penalty that the membership has put in place, and they consider giving them a window to come back and ask for that exact same thing. All that was applied was the very minimum that the membership has put in place, not beyond that. Well, us, from our office, looked at it any differently. It meant that we had to make a decision that we would substitute our judgment for the membership's minimum. We've never done that. Had we gone beyond the minimum, and I think it becomes totally subjective. But the most objective part is when you would just apply the minimum, because that's what everybody understands it to be. And outside of that, you have to make a different decision. Well, I think that it was carefully thought out by the committee when they put it in place. Your question is, I believe that it would create some challenges. I think that it would.
And if I could respond to that, you know, this committee is here for one reason, and that is it has the ability to set them aside, and those other individuals didn't choose to come before this and state their case, and these individuals did, and I think they've done a decent job of arguing it. We are in unprecedented times, and as many of you have discussed in this meeting, you know, this is challenging, and we're trying to address it in the best way possible. Yes, there is a minimum bond, but this body can set that aside, and I think, you know, for this circumstance where it was clear there wasn't intentional wrongdoing, sounds like they may have said on the webinar, and that was tough. So I do think that there, you know, is some wrongdoing. I don't think it was intentional, but I think that warrants lowering the bond. And that's what we're here to do. That's not for the league or the commissioner to decide. That's for us to decide. That's why you all are on this committee.
You choose to do that.
I understand. I'm only sharing it because I felt like it was necessary.
Mr. Stone?
Just to reiterate some of that, you know, when we were the executive committee last year, some members on this committee now were not involved in that executive committee meeting. We discussed penalties, whether to hold with sanctions and things like that. And I was against it, but we, you know, Mr. Brown's talking about unprecedented times and things like that. I believe that vote was 16-1. In favor of holding schools, hold sanctions and accountable and the league. So, you know, we can sit here and say, but this could have been avoided by the executive committee last year when we discussed this for, I think it was a 2-hour time period. So just keep that in mind that this committee voted to enforce situations like this that we knew we were going to face, in which we could have not been here right now.
Mr. Cooper?
And is it okay to respond with?
Yes, sir. This is
And I think that, Mr. Stone, though, I think the reasoning behind some people wanted those sanctions may have varied for whatever reason for 16-1. I can say for me, it wasn't about a competitive advantage or actively participating in a play. It was about safety. Because when I looked at pictures and when I saw it on the news, I can tell you, when it was a recommendation, there was no social distancing, no mask was being worn, and it was all over the place. And if I'm going to send my kids to somebody else's kids' community, I want to know that they're doing what Mid Carolina High School is doing to keep their kids safe. So that was my line of thinking. It had nothing to do with a competitive play where you do a flip drill. That's not why I wanted that to have some teeth. I wanted it to have teeth for safety. And in this particular case, I don't think that what they did violated any safety concern whatsoever.
Yes, ma'am.
I would just like to say, I think, too, part of my voting during that time was the safety, for sure. We knew that there were teams not following our recommendations. So I do think that. I also think that, you know, in this time when we're in charge of young people, we have that responsibility to ensure that, and to ensure that we have a clear understanding of the recommendations, the guidelines, the rules in every aspect of that. I know we have contacted the State Department of Education. We have had a question about their information. They too have done webinars, memos, all of this, and the High School League has done the exact same thing. There are plenty of opportunities. So, you know, in all of this, I would encourage, they take phone calls, they answer emails, they provide clarification, they answer any questions that are asked of them. And I just think, I know so many times when we use this to make our decisions, is this what you've always done? Have you always been allowed to do this? Did you know that? But this year is different. And this year does take us all being more proactive and making sure that we understand clearly all of those guidelines. Clearly, the High School League takes it as being a different year as well. They've never done so many videos, so many conferences, so many Facebook Live, you know, things. So regardless of how the vote goes, I would certainly encourage all of our members to reach out to the High School League for clarification up front,
so that we aren't facing the penalties and our students are not suffering those penalties. Thank you. On the floor, we have a motion with a second to uphold the
uphold the sanction imposed by the league staff against Emeralds High School and a $200 fine. A yes vote will be in support of this motion, a no will oppose. Ms. Boozer, you get a count at this time. All in favor, please signify by raising your right hand.
Eight, nine.
One more time.
Yeah, put them up.
All in favor.
10.
All opposed.
4.
What this means, Ms. Blunt, is that your motion in relief to the sanction has been denied with all of the sanctions, but the fine is set at $200 instead of the $500 original. Here's the mistake. Okay. If you wish to appeal,